Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Marriage Podcast Network.
What we've got here is a failure to communicate.
Welcome to the Marriage Podcast Network, helping you find and keep passion and fun in your marriage. Broadcasting from Tuscola, Texas, here are your hosts, Trey and Corey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Marriage Podcast Network, helping you find and keep passion and fun in your marriage. The date today is November the 22nd, 2012. We are in the middle of our Thanksgiving holidays, where we're going to be talking a little bit about communication today. Our title is actually going to be For Adults Who Can't Talk Good. And yes, you may be asking yourself, Trey, do you realize what you just did grammatically? And the answer to that is yes. That actually comes from one of Corey's and my favorite, I say favorite, maybe it's not your favorite.
It's kind of goofy, brainless movie.
But anyway, it comes from the movie Zoolander. So they talk about the center for somebody who are adults.
Center for the kids who can't read
good. Kids who can't read good. So we're going to talk a little bit today. We're actually going to talk a little bit about communication. And you know, it probably comes at a good time because many of you guys are going to be packing up. You're heading on vacation. You're going to be doing some stuff with family.
You're smack in the middle of it for all that goes.
What was that quote you just put the other day about not taking things personally during the holidays? Shoot that out there. That was good.
It was the greatest freedom can be fine.
Of not talking good.
Yeah, hang on. Let me find it real quick. Otherwise, I'm going to totally botch it up.
So anyway, while you guys are out there, we want to talk a little bit about communication because it is one of the most pivotal pieces of, you know, we've gone through our 5-part series here. We've gone 1 through 4 of these last few weeks, and so we're hitting the 5th part today. This is the one that if you can't square this one away, all of the other ones won't get better. In reality, it doesn't matter how much you love your spouse. It doesn't matter how much you hate your spouse. It doesn't matter how much you want it to get better. If you can't improve communication, it's gonna derp up. I mean, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. What was that quote real quick, Corey?
It was wisdom for holiday times, and there is a huge amount of freedom that comes to you when you take nothing personally.
So anyway, we bring that up and say, what exactly does that have to do with communication? We just also understand what we're going to talk today is cross-applicable. We're also going to mention a few times today how this can apply with your kids, it can apply to your subordinates at work, and it can apply to your bosses at work. Communication is one of the most – I mean, we talk about it a lot, but we don't seem to work on it very much. Yeah. And it's absolutely so important that we go through this. So – again, we're going to talk a little bit about communication. Our goal for today is that when we get out of here, we want you guys to be able to communicate better in such a way that you are able to talk to your spouse and actually get them to listen. Now, I know many of you guys are thinking, ooh, what cool strategies, you know, what life hacking thing are they going to give us today that's going to make my spouse listen to me? We're going to talk real quick about how with that mentality, it doesn't always work. So kicking us off, Corey, what's the first thing we're hitting on today?
Well, the first thing we were going to hit on is some of the unhealthy ways that we communicate. And we broke that up between guys and girls because I think we're different. Well, I know we're different. Obviously, we've got different parts to begin with. But, you know, I think our brain is just wired very differently, whether it's environment or the way we were raised, whatever. But regardless, like, we do communicate differently. And you know, I wanted to bring up some of the unhealthy ways we as women tend to communicate, and then we'll hand it over to Trey. And very often it depends on the personality. For me, I have a very aggressive personality, and therefore when I am not communicating well, I tend to act very aggressive. I do not hide my disappointment well, maybe would be a good way to put it, babe. I definitely let you know when I'm irritated with you. I'm not one to sit and stew for the most part.
Which I don't complain about a bit, just for the record.
You know, and there's all ways of communication have their pluses and minuses. You know, the good part is that typically I'm not a blower upper. You know, you have those that sit on their feelings and emotions for a long time until they explode. But you have those that are manipulative. You've got your passive aggression and your aggressive aggression. And those with the more manipulative passive aggression type,
they're the ones that anytime they these are the ones that anytime they do anything, they do it in such a way that anytime they get done with it and you confront them on it, they go, "What?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't do anything. Yeah. And it's tricky and it's tough. And in my opinion, it is the absolute worst that you can have. See, Corey is very aggressive. She's very upfront. She's very, not literally like bowing up to you, but she's in your face. Let's talk this out. Here's how I'm feeling. Yeah. I want this reaction.
And it can be negative because it can be like, man, you're a complete idiot that you didn't do it the way that I told you to do it. And why didn't you do it that way? Because are you stupid? I mean, and I've never said that, but that's very often how a lot of times people with aggressive type personalities can make people feel. Whereas though, with passive kind of leave you kind of feeling, did I do something wrong? And then you ask them about it and they're like, no, everything's fine. So anyways, and then you've got your people with no communication. The, oh yeah, everything's fine, everything's
oh,
great.
My goodness,
no,
these drive me nuts.
Yeah, no, we're good. And those are also the ones that tend to stew in their emotion. Mm. And you'll never really know what's wrong with them because they'll explode over the stupidest thing.
Yeah, they're the powder kegs. They're the ones that they're the landmine that you don't see coming. That they'll be good, but they're kind of like they're like shaking up Cokes, right?
Yeah.
You take a Coke and you shake it up really good. What happens when you finally get that cap off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
First off, it blows up, and second off, I always ask people, does it get on just you?
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
They'll blow up on everybody. Or the second thing they'll do is they're imploders. Maybe they don't explode, but they implode in on themselves. And these are the ones that'll become self-loathers. They hate themselves. Yeah. I'm a this. And they're closet. They're closet self-haters.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen people go to depression. Yeah. And kill themselves. I mean, I'm sorry to be crude, but I've seen people kill themselves because of that.
And it's your classic straw that broke the camel's back phenomenon. You know, they're going to blame the one incident that finally caused them to blow up instead of looking past the back, last 3 months where they've shown no emotion and claimed the everything's fine phenomenon. So, and then in the last one in women that I wanted to talk about was the over-communication. And it's the women, I call them the vomiters. And they so constantly over communicate. It's just, it's overstimulating and you don't really know what they're really talking about. And I think as women, we get blamed for that a lot, but really it's a defense mechanism to, I feel like in a way to so over communicate with somebody, they don't even know what's going on in a way. I don't know, Trey, what do you think about that one?
You know, that one's a tough one for me because I think some personalities need to process more. And so I think that a lot of times you get ladies that just they have a lot of talking to do. Often they have years worth of stuff that's built up. Now, you can argue that it is the responsibility of that lady to make sure that she's processing her doo-doo so that way it doesn't come to like the results of one man to have to try to handle all of this stuff, especially since we men are typically not taught how to be very good communicators. It can be especially problematic when you get a guy who doesn't really want to talk and a girl who really needs to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be very volatile. And I want to make sure that I qualify Corey. Now, that's not the problem that we have here, too. And so I want to make sure Corey is not an over-chatty lady. If anything, sometimes she has a tendency to be too tight-lipped. And so anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on the matter.
But so, you know, those are, and none of these, but like I mentioned earlier, without a doubt, my personality, if I'm going to have any of these unhealthy tendencies, it's going to be the aggressive type personality, the much more aggressive manipulator in a way. So, but, and men, Trey, men are different yet very the same.
Yeah, no, guys have some of the same issues, but we have a tendency to channel them in different areas. So let's talk about let's take the tight-lipped man. And I choose that one because that's your prototypical one. Now, I'm a pretty talkative guy. I like to talk. I'm pretty good with emotions, and I like to get emotions out there.
That's true.
But I feel this one tug even at my heart as a guy who's very open, who's very forthright with his wife about what's going on and what he feels. Even I feel this one come along every so often where I want to be tight-lipped and I want to talk about it. So this is the man that every time anything happens, we don't talk about it. We don't say anything. We don't admit to any problems. We just keep it zipped up. We sit down, we watch our football game and distract ourselves, get our mind off of it, right? This is the guy who never communicates. And let me tell you, this can be absolutely devastating to a marriage. Yeah. In most cases, what does any couple want? They want intimacy. Now, intimacy is just a depth of knowing someone that goes deeper than the average, right? So you can be intimate with your best friend, right? That doesn't necessarily mean a sexual. A lot of time we confuse that with, like, sexuality. And that is intimacy as well. However, it's just a small piece of it. Intimacy is just when you let yourself out, when you give pieces of yourself to other person. It might just be knowledge, or it just might be friendship or laughter or time or whatever. But that's what we're talking about with intimacy. And so everybody has a desire to experience intimacy, and a lot of times you get the tight lippers. What happens is these are the men that are not allowing their wives the opportunity to experience intimacy, and we blame it on a whole host of things. We call it lots of different stuff, whether it's just they're chatty, they want me to talk about my feelings and all that other stuff, but they totally avoid it 100%. The other thing that I see in terms of unhealthy ways that men communicate is what I call the vicarious communicators. These are the ones that don't open up with their wife. They don't talk with them. They don't ever visit with them. But they go to work and they find that one lady at work, and they'll just spill the beans to them. Now, we're going to talk a little bit and talking about and how do you improve your communication. Yes. And we're going to go over this a little bit deeper then. But this is one of the number one no-nos. And let me tell you, this really, excuse my language, but this really pisses people off when we talk about this as a couple. But I tell people, do not have deep, intimate friendships with the opposite gender of anybody except your husband or your wife. Now, I know I just twisted off a little can of worms there, but I mean it, guys. The reason for that being is that if I mean, I think women have a need to communicate.
Well, can I interject
real quick? Please.
You know, you hear Trey saying deep, intimate relationships, and you're going, oh, well, no, I don't have that. If you are going to the office and talking with somebody of the opposite sex about how your spouse pissed you off this weekend, you are having a deep, intimate relationship with somebody of the opposite sex.
Absolutely. And so Corey and I take a no, I mean, we just have a no-go policy
zero tolerance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so Trey, are you saying you severed your friendships that you had with girls when you married Corey? Mm-hmm. You better believe I did. You better believe I did. Now, do I have deep, intimate relationships with some of my guy friends? I do. I talk to some of them very deep. We get very serious about our conversations. But the one thing that I can tell you that never crosses my mind is I wonder if I'm attracted to them. You know? Just doesn't come up for me in our belief systems that we have in the Gibson family. And so it's not an issue. And so it's a safe place for me to be able to do that. But when you start mixing in that other gender, this is where affairs can and more often than likely do begin, as they start out as emotional affairs. Nothing physical. But what happens is you begin to substitute those things in communication that you would normally give and entrust to your wife with other women or other men. Then what you do is you open up a wide door. I mean, we're talking it's pulling your pants down, bending over, and grabbing your ankles, waiting for the booty kick right in your butt. It is going to be dangerous, more than likely. And you know what? There are people that have done it and they make it through it. But is your marriage worth the roll of that dice? Can my kids go out in the middle of the street out here in front of our house and play basketball and not die? It is likely, but I don't let them roll that dice. Do you want to do that with your marriage? So those are two. I mean, there's more unhealthy ways that guys handle communication. We could go over tons of them today, but those are the two primary that I want to talk about that I want you guys to be thinking and focusing on.
Well, and then and the next thing we're going to talk about is some of the more positive ways that you can communicate. And what we're going to talk about is how Trey and I communicate positively. Some of the things that we do is, well, I mean, the fact of the matter is we deal with everything communication. And I know that's kind of like a, you know, no duh. It's like saying I write by writing with a utensil on paper. But it's just, I mean, it's just true. We talk through everything. We never avoid an opportunity to talk through a situation. And a prime example is last night we were driving home from a family, an early family Thanksgiving, and we were driving about 60, 70 miles an hour, and a big splash hit our car. And it was very jolting and
startling.
We kept our cool. We had all our kids in the car, and Anna was like, whoa, what was that? And she's six, and Grant was like, whoa, was that a bird? And Anyways, come to find out, we stopped and pulled over, and it was a water balloon. And some kids, I mean, beyond the fact that it could have been dangerous, it was an incredible shot. I mean,
it really was. It was a pretty impressive shot.
I mean, that was some physics and geometry and arch. And anyways, it was impressive. But regardless, it could have been dangerous. And I was like, wow, man, that really could have been dangerous. Well, for some reason or another, it really kind of stressed Anna out, our six-year-old, and she really needed to process that. Mm. Now, we could have been, you know, she kept on saying, man, that could have been dangerous. That, you know, man, what could happen? Gosh, Mom, I'm kind of scared. And we could have been like, oh, Anna, everything's fine, and kind of, you know, brushed under the rug and just said, she'll shake it off and send her to bed. But instead, what Trey did is sat down on the couch and we processed it with her. And we found out that it really scared her. She recognized that Mommy could have not handled that well and ran off the road. And, you know, she recognized those things. And even though she's only six, you know, Trey and I were talking tonight, we think she's just now getting to the age where she's understanding that bad things can happen to good people. And because we took the time to talk through that with her, we recognize that she's recognizing that bad things can happen. And so we had to assure her that, yes, bad things happen, baby, but that's just part of life. We do all that we can to protect you, you know, so on and so forth. And she's doing better. But we handled that through communication. We didn't blow her off. We didn't push her away. We didn't just laugh it off. We handled that through communication. And, you know, Trey and I kind of get poked fun about being very talkative. But the fact of the matter is we like to make things clear. We like to talk things out. And let me tell you, I'm going to be really honest here. Trey and I really don't fight. And now, do we have disagreements? Do we have arguments? Of course we do. But the fact of the matter is we talk things out almost the minute that they stop bothering us.
Yeah, Corey and I kind of adopt a perspective of kind of before the sun goes down mentality. And we mean that for a small part, literally. Sure. You know, I mean, that's like a literal, we really believe in handling things when they happen. Because there's kind of a thing that actually happens. There's kind of the refreshing of the mind, if you will. And there's actually a physiological reason behind that. But what happens is anytime you get an emotional stimulus, anything that stimulates you emotionally, makes you upset, angry, frustrated, scared, whatever else, we release chemicals that help us respond to that. And it's those chemicals that help us default back like to the fight or flight response. You know, fight, flight, or freeze is what they call that. Or are you going to think it out, right? You know, and so the brain has a tendency whenever you get upset through things, it has a natural chemical balancing effect that when you go to bed and those kinds of things, it has a tendency to balance those things out. Well, what'll happen is if you and your spouse get into a big fight, you know, you and your husband, you and your wife get into a big fight that night, and you say, well, we'll deal with this in the morning. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you handle these things in the middle of the heat, right? You know, yeah. If you're mad and I'm angry at Corey and, you know, I'm just mad, right? And she comes up and says, you need to be doing these things or these things need to be happening. Yeah. When I'm mad, I'm a little turd, man. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, make me do nothing, right? And so
yes, he is.
This is not the best time for me to handle this. So I'm not suggesting you handle it when things are in the mix, right? But let me come down off the high a little bit, right? Corey had to learn that the hard way because she would try to chase me down.
It is, and that's where it also comes into knowing your spouse.
Exactly.
And still to this day, I have to bite my tongue until it bleeds when I am ready because I'm a talker at her right then. Let's get it over with. That's my aggressive personality. Let's get this over with. Let's talk about how much you suck, and then I'll realize later how much you suck that I sucked too. And Trey's not. He needs a few minutes, and I've realized that walks are my friend. Sometimes I just need to take a walk. Sometimes I just go sit in the bathroom for a little bit, maybe take a shower or anything. And 9 out of 10 times, Trey comes back to me and we talk about it. But the thing that I encourage the most is definitely talk. If I come home from being gone all day doing, you know, XYZ and the house is destroyed and the kids have, you know, strawberries up their nose and, you know, whatever there might be, I'm going to say, babe, listen.
I don't understand why that's a problem.
But I'm going to say, man, babe, why didn't you do ABC while I was gone? And he may say, because I was goofing around on the computer, or he may say because I was working. And I may not believe him, but you know, at the time I know it's not he's looking at me funny, but the point being is that I don't sit there and come home and be angry and kind of stomp around and then kind of angrily clean. Not saying that doesn't happen, but I do take the time to talk to him about that before it becomes a big issue.
And the problem with it will become is that if you wait until the next day, in some cases, that because that emotional wash is gone, a lot of times people just won't address it on the next day. They'll let it go, they'll let it slide, and they're okay with each other the next day. And so there's that false illusion that everything is all right
until the next
time it comes. And so then the next time, maybe the same thing happens. You get mad, you get upset, and then you just go to bed, and you wake up, and you're okay with it. Well, what happens is it's like putting a little bit more pressure and a little bit more pressure. Here's the issue. It will come out.
Yeah.
It will come out into your marriage. And the answer is that more often than not, when it does, it destroys relationship rather than building it. And that's the problem with it is that you need to make sure that you are dealing with these things.
Yeah.
If you are not communicating, you're not dealing with your issues, and you're setting your marriage up to fail. So, Corey, let's talk real quick.
Yeah.
What do we do in our relationship that helps prevent some of this?
Absolutely. And some of the best things we have done in our relationship is we don't go on dates very often, but what we try to do is several times a week is get up early and drink coffee together.
Yes.
And you know, it's funny. We have never run out of stuff to talk about. We've been together 10 years.
Yeah, and I don't think we ever have.
To ever run out of things to talk about. We'll sit there and drink coffee, and it may turn into talking about, you know, how blue the sky was yesterday. And then it may turn into, hey, listen, you know, I realized yesterday when this happened, this is how I felt. Or it may turn into, you know, I'm kind of concerned about this kid. Whatever it is, the fact of the matter is it gives us a time. It gives us FaceTime where it's quiet. We just talk. And like I said, sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it's not. You know, another thing that we do when we talk is we often share what's going on in our daily life. And, you know, sometimes as a stay-at-home mom, I feel underappreciated by society or whatever, you know, not to get all deep or whatever, but it helps. It's that constant flowing of communication.
Yeah. And I tell you guys, this sounds silly, but I am encouraging every single one of you guys to set up some kind of, like, for instance, we call it our coffee fellowship, our morning coffee fellowship time. And that's just where we sit down and we just enjoy each other. We talk about things that are important. What's been going on? What do we read in our scriptures that morning? What's been weighing on our mind? What do we realize that we've been doing? We go over all of those things, and I encourage you to come up with something. Now, does it have to be, you know, for all of you coffee haters out there, right? They're like, oh my God, I'm not going to drink brewed dirt.
Well, maybe you're not a morning person.
Yeah. I had a lady who I came on the Family Podcast Network the other day, and she had a wonderful thing, and I was talking to her about it, and she goes, yeah. She goes, we need to do that, but we hate coffee. She goes, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to start our Diet Coke time, because her and her husband really like Diet Coke. Yeah. She goes, we don't like being up in the morning either. Even as we were talking, she was putting together this story saying, we're going to drink Diet Cokes in the evening and sit down. It is absolutely vital that not only you do this, but you make time for it and you do not compromise it.
Yeah. And we're not talking time with kids. We're not talking time when the TV's on. We're talking unadulterated, walking, drinking coffee, whatever. And I'd encourage you to do it with all those members of your family, with your kids. You'd be surprised at things your kids want to talk about. And with them too, it's going to get things for them out in the open and whatever. And it's just going to improve, like we talked about earlier. Free-flowing communication is going to improve every area of your life. It will improve the relationship with your spouse. It will improve the relationship with your kids. It'll improve your leadership skills. It'll improve your business skills. All of these things will be improved. And let me tell you what, the other thing that will be improved is communication if used in the bedroom, like we talked about on our last topic.
Something I do want to say on this real quick before we move on to this next part of this topic is also priorities. I can't tell you how many people, when I've worked with this on this level, on a professional level, how many people say, well, Trey, we don't have enough time for this because we got to get up, we got to do this, we got to get the kids. Here's the issue. If I told you right now that if you were to leave your house and be at my house, let's see, right now it's about 11:45 p.m. on Sunday night. If I told you that you had to be here by Tuesday afternoon at noon, I would give you $5 million. What would you do to be here? you would do anything that you could. Anything. You would do anything that you could. You would buy a plane ticket.
Run the whole way if that was the only way.
Whatever you had to do to get here, you would make it happen. Why is that? It's because money is a high priority for most people in the United States. And
it's
that's
important.
Okay. It is important. We got to pay the bills. It's nice to have some extra, right? And so I am asking you, if you're trying to feed me this line of crap, well, we just don't have time. You know what? The only time I'll give you that is if your spouse is dead. Then you really don't have much time for that, and I get it. But in reality, everything else, you need to prioritize this, because if you don't, I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet or any of that crap, but I'm telling you this, it can end very poorly for you.
Well, it's saying your marriage is not worth trying to keep. And you, but it is. No, if you are not setting up the time to communicate with your spouse, you're saying you don't mind getting a divorce. And I don't mean to be ugly. Either that or you're saying you don't mind being in a very bad marriage.
Yeah.
And anyways, but like I had mentioned earlier, communication, man, bring that into the bedroom.
Yeah.
We know we talked about sex last week. Communication is going to be key in sex.
Absolutely.
What you like, what you don't like, what you wish they did, what you wish they went and did.
How much you wish it was happening.
Speaking
of that, for adults who can't talk good.
But, I mean, there's been times where I'm like, you know, and I'm always very gentle and loving, and it's still embarrassing. There's been times Trey's told me things that embarrass me. And I know there's been times I've told Trey that things that have embarrassed him. But in the long run, it has improved without a doubt. It's an improvement in the bedroom, and it's everywhere. Communication is key. Period. End of sentence. In all five topics that we have talked about, communication is going to be what changes everything. And so the next thing that we had talked about is to fight fairly with communication. And we had mentioned how Trey and I rarely fight because we communicate.
You know, we kind of have a belief system on this, too, is that when it comes to arguing with spouses, it's okay. But the issue is that it has to be fair. Like Corey was talking about, you got to be able to fight fairly. So we kind of – anytime we talk about this, we kind of break it up into two different kinds of things, right? So I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen a street fight. You know, so I'm pretty big in self-defense and those kinds of things. So I watch a lot of videos, and so I've seen a lot of the things that are out there that are on just street fighting. Let me tell you, street fighting is – dirty, man. It is just, there is no holds barred. It is who can inflict the most amount of damage in the quickest amount of times through whatever means are necessary, and it doesn't matter. It is mean. It is punching in the crotch, in the face, in the head, repeated over and over. It is about a solid set. I am going to win at the cost of my life because it is that important. We say that a lot of times parents fight, married people fight this way. It is just no holds barred. Yeah. So, well, this is a problem because the two people that are in this relationship are what? They're very intimate.
Yeah.
They're very close. They know each other. They know what each other's buttons are. Now, do you see how that can be a problem? You get somebody, two people that are fighting unfairly who know each other better than anybody else on this earth, then what happens is you create a very volatile situation that can set you up for some major hurts and major disappointments.
Yeah.
And so we say, you don't fight street fighting in a marriage. When you're arguing and when you're fighting, you have to fight more like it is boxing. Boxing has a set of rules. There are certain things that you're allowed to do and certain things you're allowed not to do. For instance, you're not allowed to punch somebody in the crotch or below the belt, right? That's where that phrase, oh, that was below the belt, comes from. That's a boxing term for making sure that you do not ever hit below the belt, right? Also, you do things like, hey, you're not supposed to bite people's ears off. Doesn't necessarily mean that it happens or that it doesn't happen, right? Goes back to that unfair. But boxing is a set of rules. It is about respect. It is about two men that are coming in together, or a man, a woman, or two women that come together and they fight and they follow these rules, and one of them eventually comes out as a pseudo victor. Now, you have to be careful with this mentality of a victor.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is, if you're one of those types who is very competitive and is very hooked on winning, what will happen is that when you argue with spouses, it begins to be an issue where it becomes more important to win the argument than it is to focus on what are the needs of this other person. What is this person wanting? So we're going to move into our last segment here today. We're going to talk a little bit about bulletproofing. Remember, Family Marriage Podcast Network is about bulletproofing your marriage.
Right.
Remember, we want to try to prevent and eliminate and protect ourselves from the possibilities even of falling into affairs or divorces or those kinds of things. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. One of our number one rules that Corey and I stick to, adhere to, and teach to everybody that we can is keep intimate relationships between the spouses only.
Yeah.
And we don't just mean that physically. And specifically in this case, we mean emotionally and mentally.
Now, let me clarify just real quick. Again, earlier we had talked about the intimacy as in, you know, if you and your spouse had a rough week, in which it all happens to us. That just means don't go and run to, you know, Bob who works in the cubicle next to you. And, man, my husband was such a jerk. But it doesn't mean you can't go run up to Mary, who's your friend, and talk to your friend about it. We're not saying you can't have other intimate relationships with other people.
Right.
I'm saying keep intimate relationships with the opposite sex or those who you could even be attracted to just between you and your spouse, period. That's all there is to it. And with that, and with that, you will find your relationship between your spouse improve. I mean, you just will. It's good to vent. You need to have friends. My best friend lives up in Oregon, and let me tell you, she gets an earful all the time. But with that, it relieves stress on me without causing any type of rift in our marriage. And so, with that. Like I said, just be sure to keep that intimacy between you and your spouse or you and a friend, not a friend of the opposite sex. Anyways, I can't reiterate that enough. But moving into the last part of this, we want to talk about how to improve communication.
Which, again, goes back to the bulletproofing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've mentioned you just need to keep that line of communication open. And Trey was talking earlier about fighting with communication and fighting fairly. And if you are ready to start opening those lines of communication with you and your spouse up, let me offer the biggest piece of advice that I think I can. Start with right now. Don't go dredging up the past. You know, it's not, you know, last year whenever you wrecked the car and I pretended like I wasn't real upset with that. No, the past is past. That is part of fighting fairly, is don't bring up the past.
Well, one of the other things, too, that I think we often forget about is when it comes to communication, sometimes it's just like sex. You can't sit down and marry somebody and sit down and have sex with them for the first time and expect to know every single little nuance and intimacy about what they like and what they don't like.
Yeah.
Nor can I expect Corey to know me when we first had sex right after we got married. I just can't expect her to know everything.
Yeah.
You have to sit down and talk. And learning how to do things like argue and fight in that part of the communication is another one of those really big pieces.
Yeah.
Instruct them, hey, when you do this, I feel. So I'm going to give you guys a formula that if you want to be able to say something to somebody, your spouse,
yes,
and they'll actually listen to you. Here's your little phrase right here. You do it just like this. Write this down.
Yes.
I feel, and then whatever the feeling it is that you have. So, Corey, I feel disrespected. I feel hurt. I feel upset when you come at me and try to make me talk about whatever it is I'm feeling right then, because I feel like you're saying you can't wait a few minutes. Then you always end on what you want different. What I'd like is for you to give me 5 minutes before you come talk to me and let me recover. And then let's sit down and talk. So again, it's I feel blank. What is it that you feel?
Yeah.
Because, and then you fill in exactly what it is. Don't just say because you disrespected me, right? What the heck does that mean? That means something for me. I'll guarantee you, though Corey's is probably similar, it's not exactly the same. So I feel blank because you, and then you tell them exactly what it was that they did. Exactly. And then you always end on what I'd like for you to do different is this. And I'm telling you, you put that little puppy, that little golden nugget of delightfulness in there, you will experience some amazing things. Secondarily, there is one important and very crucial thing that you have to remember. We've got this, and then Corey's got one more thing. We're going to wrap it up. Remember that communication is a two-way street. We talk about communication, I think we almost always default to, oh, talking to people, communicating thoughts and beliefs and hurts and trying to understand them and communicate that we understand them. Well, there's two pieces to that communication bit. You have to be a good sender, and you have to be a good receiver. In other words, what I'm saying is, especially us men, shut up. Shut up and listen. And when I say listen, I don't mean just hear that there's, you know, right? It's like the teacher from Peanuts, right? That's not what I'm talking about when I say listen. You're not just hearing sound. You've got to be listening, which means you've got to be trying your best to understand. So what you're telling me is that you feel this way because I did that. Well, no, not at all. Then you start over. Okay, yeah. So then what you're saying is this. Well, yeah, okay. So you're telling me I didn't get that exactly right, by the way you're saying. So you're saying you're feeling this. Yes, that yeah. is it. You yeah. do that over and over and over and over with them until you figure it out. Remember, communication, you got to talk to them, but you've also got to shut up and really, really listen and hear that other person.
And the last thing we're going to talk about with improving communication is something that we call the sandwich effect.
Yes.
And the sandwich effect is that if you've got maybe a critique or a criticism that you need to talk with somebody about, you introduce with a praise. Mm. You give the critique or criticism, and you end with a praise.
Yeah, this works.
Yeah, it does. It's very disarming. And that's the biggest thing we got to come at when we come into communication. Like Trey talked about, if we come to, you are such a jerk when you do this, and you said you can, you know, that I feel like. So with sandwiching, let me give you just a simple example. Let's say Trey's cleaning the living room. Cleaning is a big thing to me. I know y'all have heard me talk about this. I can walk in and go, man, babe, you did a phenomenal job with how you lifted up the books when you dusted, because you, man, that's so easy to forget. But whenever you vacuum the rug, would you make sure to move the coffee table and get those crumbs underneath there? But God, I just really appreciate that you took the time to clean the window on the door. I mean, God, that's just something that, you know, I know it gets so dirty and it's just not any fun to do. And so it doesn't mean that they're not going to get irritated with you, but you're telling them the things, you're telling them two times more of good things that they are doing right, and then the one thing of correction. And this works. It does. You can do it with your
kids. Yeah, it sure does.
Not you can. You should do it with your kids. You should do it with your employees. If you have any employees whatsoever, you should do it with your friends. The sandwich effect works.
Well, guys, that is all that we have for this episode of the Marriage Podcast Network. We help you find and keep passion and fun in your marriage. Guys, don't forget to go and like us over on Facebook. We want to connect with you guys there. Also, guys, don't forget, we really want to value your time. While you're here, we want to make sure that we're talking about the things that you want to talk about. If you guys have any ideas, thoughts, perspectives, something you want to talk about, something that you want to hear about, remember, you can make those suggestions anonymously. You can email us at Trey@TheMarriagePodcast or Corey@TheMarriagePodcast. Let us know what you want to hear it on. If you want to, you don't have to give us a name. We can just throw out there that we had somebody call in. But the bottom line is, we want to answer your questions. So go do that. Also, guys, don't forget to share this over on Facebook. Share this with your friends and let them know. What I need you to do for us is hit that little share button right above this bar on TheMarriagePodcast.com. Then take that over to Facebook and just put, man, love these guys. They do great stuff. Those kinds of, that right there that makes people want to come join the show and be more a part of it. So again, if you guys have any questions, let us know. We want to help you guys out. Thank you again for joining us for this episode.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I hope you guys have a great trip. Drive safe. We'll see you guys next week.